VentureCast.
I gotta believe this is the only place on Earth where Winston Churchill, Helen Keller, Kraftwerk, Bob Marley, Bob Dylan, Justin Bieber, Jerry Seinfeld have all appeared on that stage. Like, is there another place that can claim that? Helen Keller? The Dalai Lama? That is a really unique history. And I've stunned them. That's the kind of information you can get on this podcast. Even though there are seasoned pros, they can be stunned into silence.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Of North America. Ben Barton, did you know that?
But coral reef?
No, they've
got... That would be a funky reef if it's all in Toronto.
They've got a great history of coral groups. Singers in Toronto. Right. That's what I said.
It is what he said.
Jeff Simons, how are you doing out in Berkeley, California?
Doing okay. Hanging in there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Ben
Not
Barton?
Much to report.
How is teaching of law going in Knoxville these days?
We are bumping along.
Awesome.
But you are in New York City tonight, are you not?
No.
Are you back home?
Look at his refrigerator.
I thought it was Knoxville.
If he reproduced his basement in New York City, that would be worrisome. Or maybe that's a set that he traveled
I thought maybe it was your background that India was walking around in. No, I thought you were out of town.
Oh, me? No, I was in New York this weekend again, but I'm back.
Okay. See, I wasn't that far off.
I thought you were saying Timmy was in New York.
No. Timmy is definitely where Timmy always is.
Timmy never leaves the basement. And we also have Adam Maris here. Adam, how are you? You're artist in residence. We've already interviewed you.
And we're doing reverse order.
Reverse order. Adam is here. Record store aficionado. And you work currently at the greatest venue to see music in Toronto, Massey Hall. Which I cannot wait to quiz Jeff and Ben about.
Uh-oh.
But first things first, how many of us have been to Toronto?
All of us. That's all good of us.
Excellent. Ben, why did you go to Toronto?
So I've been 4 for 4, right? This is the fourth place that I've been.
That's correct.
Sad report. This one I have less of an attractive city report.
Oh, no.
I can't even remember if it was like spring break or winter break, but I went up to Vermont with 3 or 4 very dissolute friends from college, not including Jeff. And then from Vermont, we went to Toronto and we just got drunk as hell.
Okay.
I went to a strip club.
Oh, dear.
And then passed out in a hotel. Like it was like 6 guys with 1 bed. Like I have no memory. And people are like, have you been to Toronto? I'm like, yes. And they're like, what was it like? And I'm like, I have no report on that at all. This is nothing to tell you.
Wow. Okay. Ben,
that's a very uncharacteristic Ben Barton.
I was gonna say, I didn't know we would see this side of Ben Barton in season 3.
Tim's all upset. You see, Tim is all uncomfortable. Everything about that story made Tim a little uncomfortable.
By the way, I almost chose Pour Some Sugar on Me as our song. So we're lucky that I didn't do that.
girls.
Jeff Simons, Toronto.
I've been twice. Once on a family trip, like through Niagara Falls up to Toronto, over across.
Cool.
And I can't remember why I was there a second time.
Okay.
Friend visiting an old friend who went to McGill.
Cool.
I love Toronto. I did not get to know its strip club underbelly with the same intimacy as our compatriot here. But I mean, it's a cliche, but it's unbelievably friendly. I just felt like a cad the whole time I was there, like with my stupid American snarkiness, and it was not necessary or needed because people were very pleasant. So that's my chief memory.
So I went to Toronto, I think in 2016. I had a short play win a contest. The play was entitled Metallica is the Last Straw. And so I got to go to the play festival because they performed the play. And I'm like, how often do I get to see one of my plays performed? I'm going to Toronto. beautiful. Got the, such a walkable city, friendly people. Yeah, I had a great time until I saw the performance of my play.
Help us
directors,
out.
Directors sometimes make decisions, and us writers.
Oh, you actually, I remember this vaguely that you
very
were
upset.
Bewildered. Yeah.
Very upset. All right. Well, we are in Toronto, destination 4 of our musical road trip here on the 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys podcast on your Electricast podcast network. And I want to make sure we're clear from the get-go. This can't be our Canada catch-all. So we can't talk about Celine Dion or Bryan Adams or Justin Bieber or Jeff Simons and Murray. Right.
All right. Understood. I'll have to let me just rearrange all my notes. But fair. Yeah, fair enough.
Awesome. Well, let's get things going with the arrival song. Here's the song that we're going to play when we touch down at the Toronto airport to get us excited about our stay.
No, but I wish I'm going to get to know him better. No notes, Timmy. That song kicks ass. I love that.
The Beaches. Let's go. I'm just a girl who dropped out of a Toronto art school. Yeah. Let's go. Ben, have you ever
landed at YYZ and we didn't play YYZ? I'm out. I got a lot of notes.
There's going to be, I'm sorry about my text last night. I was doing my best to try and understand Drake before this podcast.
Oh, you'll understand more when I pick a Drake song. It's going to work out for us.
And that's just great.
I'll tell you what, though. Had I played this as the arrival song, Ben Barton's brain may have exploded. One of my least favorite songs of all time, Jeff Simons.
By the way, this introduction just keeps on going, too. I can't believe he didn't start singing there.
If I had $1 million, I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house.
He buys a lot of things in the song.
Jeff Simons, I remember in season one, you would use the word tweet every once in a while to describe a song. And I was like, what's he mean by that? And then I hear that introduction, and I'm like, oh, that's
it. Awesome. That is, what I love about the introduction is also the, like, what else is lying around the studio that makes noise? Like, we'll do the accordion, we'll do the violin.
Oh, the accordion into the violin is the best. Yeah,
it's great.
I had them for an in-store when I was managing Sunrise Records. And I don't really have a lot to add to that. But,
except the fact.
I mean, we all know about the Bare Naked Ladies here.
Yeah.
And they're a band.
They are indeed.
It's been 1 week since you hosted
them. Stop. All right. Well, what do we know about Toronto? We know that it is the birthplace of the Toronto sound. Adam, has that term ever flown across your radar, the Toronto sound?
I mean, I don't think we talk about that here.
In Toronto.
Tim's research strikes
from
again.
1955 to 1975, Toronto developed its own kind of like R&B soul scene. And for example, Jeff Simons has the Silhouettes ready to go.
Yip, 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 yip. Silver we spend it in town, because all of my money hasn't really turned brown. Because
we live for the poorhouse, baby.
Yes, all right.
Just strange as it may sound.
But it ain't for the poorhouse, because all my money turned brown.
Yip, 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 yip.
Well, I remember, baby,
I can't believe it.
I like that.
The Bare Naked Ladies should just cover that song. All their albums would just be that song.
I like that weird electric guitar thing that I did not expect. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, no. And so also, that was... who gets tired of yip, 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 yip? I mean, I'm like, yes, more.
That would have totally been my role in the band. Like,
but that's the band that did Get a Job, right? That's their big famous one, right?
That is their big
one. Which is also a yip song. Yip, 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 yip. Yeah, that must have been their thing.
Once you hit the youth gold mine, you don't give it up. Why stop success?
All right. Yeah, they had a lot of soul singing, and they tried, Ben Barton, to do choreographed performances. They would try to pay homage, I think, well, or steal James Brown's act as much as possible, which is a pretty good act to try and steal. All right, Adam, you're in on this. Do you have a pen or pencil ready to go?
It is. I can.
It is the Toronto compilation. Jeff Simons, I have predicted that there will be a song that you will get, and it's going to make you laugh out loud.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
We're not going after song titles. We're just going after artists. We're playing clips of songs that say Toronto somewhere in the song.
And to be clear, we need to get the artist. Is that right? Not the song artist. Title.
That is correct. There are 14 songs.
14.
11
this
or 10?
It's going to be a bloodbath, Timmy. This is your
right.
week, man.
I think
this
is your week. Let's go with 10.
All right. We got this, fellas. Is everybody ready?
Wait, did you say there are now 10 songs or 14?
14. There's 14 songs.
Your goal
we need
is
to get
10.
10.
Yeah, okay. Your goal is 10, and I think it's going to be tough.
We were 14 days from Toronto. While on a gig up in Toronto.
I need help with this one. This one
to be lost in downtown Toronto.
I got this one too.
Those walls we all have to Toronto.
No idea.
Get that ring just like Toronto.
Does anybody have this one? I can't name it. Super familiar. Nice.
I don't think that.
You be screaming free, sometime they paperwork don't match up. I'm a hustler and a robber, pray my crew never get captured. I like the Toronto Raptors, major player, indie labels.
Fall in one cloud at a time. That night in Toronto, let's check it for
all right.
I think we're going to just squeak under unless...
This is going to...
If I'm lucky, I got 5.
Okay.
I'm reevaluating the Tragically Hip. I like that clip.
So that last song's the Tragically Hip?
It is, yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought it might be. All right. Should we go to the top?
Let's go to the top.
Now, I know this song. I think I think I recognize it. I read an article in the New York Times about like a month ago about this guy named Earl McGrath, who was like a scenester who knew everybody in rock and roll. And they, when he died, his family found like 150 unlabeled reel-to-reels in his cool. closet of like yeah. records that had been given. They put out a record called Earl's Closet. Wow. And I only paid attention to it because one of Timmy's favorite bands is on it. I think that's Hall & Oates, the first song. Am I right? Is it Hall & Oates?
Hall & Oates. That's awesome. Great.
Dude, yeah, I only got that because I wanted, I knew you would love early unreleased Hall & Oates more than even Hall and or Oates. So I checked it out.
I got a Toronto thing about Hall & Oates is the Toronto Maple Leafs goal song. So that is every time the Leafs score a goal at home,
okay.
they play a Hall & Oates song every goal.
What song?
What's it? Dreams, Making My Dreams.
You Make My Dreams Come True. Nice.
And the fans, right? And the fans right now are
very. That's why they haven't won the cup. You're not winning the cup with a Hall & Oates song. The fan base if I went to a game, I'd be like, I hope the other team scores more because I don't want to hear that song.
The fan base is very upset about it right now because they've been doing it for like 4 years and it's just not working and people are sick of it.
Time to get rid of it. All right. The second song, second artist.
Buddy Waters.
I think it's Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry is the answer.
Wow.
We all got Green Day for number three.
I have Green Day. You couldn't ask me for three. I actually had that one. I have five, too.
I don't have four at all. Who's four?
Anyone have four?
Is it Blue Rodeo? Is it another Canadian band?
It is Broken Social Scene.
It is another Canadian band. That's not the one I knew.
And yeah, I wasn't going to. Number five is so obvious, but it was also so painful, Ben, that I thought you would appreciate it. Who's number five?
James Taylor, right?
James Taylor is correct. Jeff Simon's number six.
Mark Knopfler. Not Dire Straits, but not Mark Knopfler.
With?
Is that the live record with Emmylou Harris?
It is. Very good. Okay. All right. Number seven, Adam, any luck?
Nico Case.
Number seven. No,
I didn't
seven.
Number them. Sorry, I didn't number them.
This is the something in Colorado got the
run. Hip hop song? Ben, no help.
I just wrote Drake for both of the hip hop ones because I'm fucking livid if Timmy didn't choose a Drake song. And he can kiss Drake. My ass. He can kiss my ass. This is fucking guy.
Number seven is Justin Bieber.
I don't feel bad that I missed that.
Anyone have something for number eight?
Cowboy Junkies.
Oh, close. No. I mean, close, I think.
Female singer?
Yeah, the female singer.
Is that New Pornographers or Nico Case?
No, it was Camera
Obscura. Shit. I should have gotten that. That's a good song.
Ben, what about number nine?
Just nothing.
It's Bare Naked Ladies. It's got to be. It's the same dorky voice, right?
It is Bare Naked Ladies.
And then Ben's got the next three, I think. Bang, bang,
no,
bang.
No, I really don't.
Oh, come on.
Oh, number 10. I thought you'd get that. Number 10, Jeff Simons.
Is Snow.
It form.
The white vanilla ice.
I used to see that guy at a bar all the time.
Oh, bet. Who is just hanging around like, anybody remember Snow? 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 Hey, I think the guy from Snow is here.
And number 11.
That's definitely Falco.
That is Falco, Vienna Calling. I absolutely loved pulling that one down. And then number 12, Adam, we'll give it to you.
I didn't number them, but so I don't know where I'm at.
It's a slow country song. I have no idea what it is. Tell us.
Oh, is it Gordon Lightfoot?
It is Gordon Lightfoot. It's got to be.
Favorite son, Gordon Lightfoot. And then,
Gordon Lightfoot has played Massey Hall more times than any other artist.
The Billy Joel of Massey Hall. That tracks. Gordon Lightfoot.
And number 13, Jeff Simons.
No idea.
It is Gucci Mane with Pooh Shiesty.
Nice. That's excellent pronunciation. And then that's the Tragically Hip. Did we get 10?
You got 10. I should have made it 11, but it's not a competition. You all did very, very well with the Toronto compilation contest, which brings us to our first advertisement. And we're back.
I'm still salty, Timmy. I'm still salty. I can't believe you don't help us out at all. Like, you just no generosity whatsoever.
That really was. No Drake is really.
No Drake.
That was
no
some
rush,
tough love. No rush,
slow,
no Drake.
Nothing. Like, you can't help us at all?
I have your Drake. He just wasn't in the contest. But he is Toronto's favorite son. We get to pick the top-selling artist from the city or state or country, and the top-selling artist in Toronto history is Drake, and his number one song, most listened to song on Spotify is this one, a song I've never heard before.
On your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play. Streets not safe, but I never run away. Even when I'm away. OT, OT, there's never much love when we go OT. I pray to make it back in one piece. I pray That's why I need a one dance. Got a Hennessy in my hand. One more time before I go. Higher powers taking a hold on me. I need a one dance. Got a Hennessy in my hand. One more time before I go. Higher powers taking a hold on me.
I'm sorry, are we working toward a chorus of some sort?
Oh.
So
are you joining me? Are you joining me in the Grumpy Drake Club? You were a mild defender the last time Drake came up on this podcast.
There's no way Tim's been on the Grandpa Boy corner just with you. You two guys are just there passing back and forth. Like, awesome. I just don't hear it at all.
Let me tell you, I don't like that, but it sounds fantastic in my headphones. Like, it's so obviously headphones music. Like, that that's so deep and bassy and spectacularly produced. And even though I don't like it, I was really kind of enjoying the oral quality.
That's his biggest song ever on Spotify?
Yeah.
Not God's Plan. I can't believe
never
it.
Never heard it once.
Yeah, me neither.
So that song is fantastic. And also just note the production, just right to spotlight the production. The production is amazing. Drake and OVO 40, his producer, have their finger on the pulse. But they're also like, they're actually forward looking. They create things. Like, they're one of the first acts, major big hit acts, like basically steal that whole Caribbean backbeat that goes along with it, like the click, 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 click. And then you've got Drake mumbling, singing, and the baby, I like your style on top of it. Totally works. I love it.
All right. Well, I'm sure we're going to be talking a little bit more about Drake momentarily. Ben, any idea of his record sales?
Oh, I mean, the plays. I mean, that, like, I think that song's got like over 2 million plays, right? Or 2 billion. It's got a 2 at it. It's got a whole bunch of other numbers, and then there's a 2 at the front
right,
of it.
Right.
So it's a billion.
That's unbelievable.
152 million in record sales.
Yeah.
So just an extraordinarily successful artist. But we'll get to him more in a bit. Fun facts about Toronto. Let's start with Jeff Simons. Population, not the metropolitan area, but the city itself. How many people live in Toronto proper?
5.68 million.
Ben, you're going to go higher or lower?
Way under. It's definitely under that.
It is indeed. Adam, any clue?
Well, I know the answer.
Oh, good.
I'm going to say.
I hope it's what I have.
I mean, I think I know the answer.
I would say 1.9 million.
No way.
Oh, it's waste. It's really.
It's small. The fourth largest city in North America. It's got to be more than 2 million people.
Adam might have been talking about the greater metropolitan area. I've got it as 2.7.
6 million.
Thank you. 5.68 is a fabulous guess.
All right.
I'm claiming that one. You guys
No way. That's the metro area.
By
the way, the metro area includes like Windsor. Like the metro area is like all the way down to Detroit and all the way down the other side.
Oh my God.
All right. Ben, I'll give you this question. We're gonna give the English credit for the founding. To clarify, there was a French fort there back along. And to clarify,
I think there were people there before.
I was just going to say.
Lived there for thousands of
years. Oh, boy. 120 episodes in. It's finally what happens to us.
The modern conception of Toronto, what year would we go with Ben Barton?
When the French got there or when the English
got there? No, when the English founded York, which then became Toronto.
1705.
Higher or lower, Jeff Simons?
That's a good guess. I'm going to say higher.
1793.
Wow.
Adam, how's my research? No quibbles?
It sounds good. Sounds about right.
All right, good.
I had it a little later, but I don't have an exact year, so I can take that.
1793?
I know. It's later than I thought. Too. Wow.
Yeah.
So throw some paper up there.
All right, this is a fun little contest. Jeff or Ben, whoever says it first gets to then claim this title. You just have to defend your answer. Ready? All-time greatest Blue Jay.
Joe Carter.
Joe Carter, says Jeff Simons. Jeff, defend your answer.
He hits the iconic home run that wins the 93 World Series and skips around the bases like a five-year-old kid. I can't imagine a greater Blue Jay World Series moment.
Pretty great. Ben, what do you think? You agree?
I have no Blue Jays at all, and I'm a Yankee fan. So
oh,
like,
my God.
It's like there was that gum underneath my shoe, and it was stuck to it, but I can't remember any names.
It's a bad day to be making, like, bold Yankee claims after that
not
sweep.
A bad day to, not a bad day to dunk on the Blue Jays, though. Never a bad day for that.
Fair enough.
Other nominees?
The correct answer is Roberto Alomar.
Roberto Alomar.
The only one that could be argued is Roy Halladay, but he didn't really put in enough time. So I'm going to go.
Didn't Robbie Alomar live at the Sky Dome in an apartment so that he could be closer to the workout equipment? I'm right about that, right?
I don't know if that's the reason why he lived there, but he did live there.
Wait, are there apartments at the Sky Dome?
Yeah, there's apartments. In fact, when they first opened, people were renting them for the night and engaging in hotel activities in full view of the Sky Dome. It was a problem. Am I right? That happened, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
See, I know that about Toronto. Baseball stadium is where it's at. If you tried to do that in the upper deck in Oakland, you would be, first of all, nobody would see you now. You could do it. You could definitely do it now because there's only 30 people at the games. But
once again, the podcast has taken a turn. You're all wrong. The correct answer was John Olerud because of his helmet.
Can I tell you a funny story about John Olerud's helmet?
Does it involve Ricky Henderson?
It involves Ricky Henderson.
I know the exact story he's going to tell.
I don't know. Tell me.
Oh, it's a true story. My friend worked for the A's and was told the story. So Henderson and Olerud played together for 6 years in Toronto. And then Henderson was traded back to the A's. And one day they're playing and Olerud's at first base and Ricky hits a single and comes back and says, oh, you wear the hard hat, huh? I used to play with a guy that did that. He's like, yeah, it was me, Ricky, for 6 years.
They won a World Series together.
Yeah.
You'd think he would remember him.
That is so terrific. And then finally, I think just, and Adam, you can speak to this, but researching Massey Hall, 1894, as you say,
In the exciting interview to follow.
I gotta believe this is the only place on earth where Winston Churchill, Helen Keller, Kraftwerk, Bob Marley, Bob Dylan, Justin Bieber, Jerry Seinfeld have all appeared on that stage. Like, is there another place that can claim that? Helen Keller? The Dalai Lama? That is a really unique history. And I've stunned them. That's the kind of information you can get on this podcast. Even though there are seasoned pros, they can be stunned into silence. Just
I loved your choices. That was a wonderfully eclectic list of performers.
What was fascinating is that Helen Keller and Jerry Seinfeld actually did their gig together.
I was just going to say.
It was fascinating.
Thank you for that layup. That's a great, but seriously, you're a great crowd.
Question of the day, Adam, is to you, who has the best poutine in the city?
You know, poutine's more of a Quebec thing.
That was tough, Timmy. Do you see what happened there? That didn't work out at all.
I mean, we have.
He just Helen Kellered you. He just slapped you back.
Like we have poutine, but yeah. We're only known to Americans for our poutine, because in Toronto we think of Quebec as being the poutine capital.
So what is the Toronto go-to? Like, what's the Philly cheesesteak of Toronto?
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I think the thing about Toronto is that, like, we're just super diverse. So you can get a great poutine, you can get a great pizza, you can get Chinese, Vietnamese, Indian. And so we're like jack of many trades, but I think culinary, not one.
Well,
our hot dogs are pretty good. Street dogs are pretty good.
I was going to say Sneaky D's, because it is also a place where Arcade Fire played. And Feist. And so I was like, oh, even though I haven't eaten there, that place must be pretty cool.
Get the nachos.
Okay. Great call. Ben Barton, here's what to do in Toronto, according to TripAdvisor.com. Number one, are you going here, Ben? It's Ripley's Aquarium.
That's a tough get.
Nah, I'm not going there either. All right.
Is that like a believe it or not aquarium? Like fake animals? Yeah. That...
Jeff Simons. Number two is the Toronto Island Park. Are you going to head out there?
Sounds like two things I like, islands and parks.
Okay.
Combined together.
Okay. Ben Barton, number three is the CN Tower.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah, totally. From the cover of Views. I'm definitely doing that.
Yes, Ben. Drake has been there as well. Jeff Simons, the St. Lawrence Market sounds nice.
Okay. Adam, our guest is nodding, so I'm definitely going there.
Good one, yeah. Also, right. I'll say about the CN Tower, no Torontonian has been to the CN Tower more than once, if that many times.
Okay.
Like, if you live in Toronto, you never go to the CN Tower.
Okay. Except if you're shooting an album cover of some sort.
I imagine the same thing's true of the Space Needle in Seattle. I imagine people don't go up in that very often.
Ben Barton, what about the Royal Ontario Museum? Do you want to check that out?
Yes, absolutely. Super into that.
Absolutely. I went there and I got to see the death of General Wolfe, which is a painting I teach every year. So that was super exciting for me. And then finally, Jeff Simons, in Toronto, you have the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh, I'm definitely going there.
Yeah.
Because I want to research the pre-helmet days of hockey.
Oh.
Which I imagine there are some fantastic photographs of like toothless animals beating each other senseless. I'm excited about that.
Okay.
I read a book about the story of hockey. It was one of those like books for fifth graders, like, you know, it's like a middle school.
Sure.
And it was all about how the NHL, when there were only six franchises.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of fell for hockey for a little bit because that book really cast a spell. So I would definitely go to the hockey museum.
Me too.
Oh, wait, how many of the six can you name?
All six.
The Canadiens, the Leafs. Those two teams are very good. The Rangers.
Rangers for sure.
The Sabres, maybe. The Flyers. And I'm now the Blackhawks. Oh, and the Blues. The Blues and the Blackhawks are the two American. No, okay. I'll stop.
Blackhawks is good.
Okay.
You're forgetting the greatest hockey franchise in the world, the Boston
Bruins. Boston, Brothers. Come on now. You didn't get Boston.
I mean, it's such a little town, I always forget about it.
There's one more.
Detroit.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, so, Detroit.
Oh, of course. That's just pathetic. I didn't get the Red Wings. Shame All on right. me.
Well, let's get to our three songs or events or people. Who gets to go first?
Ben gets to go first. He's got some Drake payback to do.
Oh, I mean, I just listen. You're just gonna play nice for what, and you're gonna start at 1:10, and I'm just gonna talk for a second about Drake. Okay. So I faced a lot of criticism on this podcast from the elderly. You know, angry old people really don't like to talk to young people. They don't like to talk to people who listen to new things. They only want to listen to old things. That's fine for those people. I actually thought about not choosing a Drake song. I'm in New York City this weekend, and I take the A train out to JFK. This is how I'm exiting New York City. And the A train ceases going express and goes local in the middle between Brooklyn and Queens. And right across from me are these two really heavy set working African-American dudes who just lose their fucking minds when it goes local. Like, they're just like, oh, on the weekend, every time with the local. And the other guy's like, that's why they got to pay you more on the weekend. He's like, it's going to take me 2 hours to get home. They're like screaming at each other, so mad. And then one guy goes, you know what I'm going to do? And the other guy goes, I know. And then he pulls into his backpack and pulls out a portable speaker and then plays a Drake song on the portable speaker, filling the entire train car. And I was like, who am I kidding? I'm definitely choosing a Drake song. These are my people. This is my thing. So this is my actual favorite.
Wait. Was it like the last days of disco where everybody got up and started dancing and stuff?
No, everyone was so beaten down. Dude, listen, that A-Train ride is like, I can't even describe how horrible it was. I'm definitely not doing that again.
Is it legal to go from an express to a local? They could just change it like that?
Oh, listen, as the guys expressed very carefully on the weekend, you never know. Like, they'll just go ahead and move it over to the local track and just screw you.
Oh, that's brutal.
So this is from 2018, Scorpion is the name of the record. And this is a comeback record for Drake. He was like in a little bit of a fallow period. And then this record is just absolutely gargantuan. It's got God's Plan on it. This is the third single from the record. It's a little more up-tempo. So I'm hoping that I can get some buy-in from the elderly here. And it is similar to some of the early Kanye. It's got a really, really lovely expression of the female point of view. It's a song about a woman breaks into, and it's excellent. 1:10, nice for what?
That's a real one in your reflection. Without a follow, without a mention. You really piping up on these niggas. You gotta be nice for what to these niggas? I understand. You got a 100 bands. You got a baby Benz. You got some bad friends. High school pics. You was even bad then. You ain't stressing off no lover in the past tense. You already had them. Work at 8 a.m. Finish round 5. Post talk down. You don't see them outside. Yeah, they don't really be the same offline. You know dog days, you know hard times. Doing overtime for the last month. Saturday, call the girls, get them gassed up. Gotta hit the club, gotta make the ass jump. Gotta hit the club like you hit the motherfucking angles. With your phone out, snapping like you Fabo. And you showing off, but it's alright. And you showing off, but it's alright. It's a short life.
Diesel's your boy, Emmy.
Watch the breakdown.
Jeff, do you know that sample?
No.
You want to tell us, Adam?
Yeah, it's Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill's X Factor. So bad.
Oh, yeah. Just you're right.
Perfect. Absolutely.
That was great. There was no sad mumbling. I love
it. Yeah, no, that one, among the Drake songs, that's a more up-tempo one. But I absolutely love that one. Everything's paid for. You're taking pictures like her famo. It's like this woman who works super hard, 8 to 5:30, and then she's out at the club with her girls and just having a ball. Love that. And also, like, the whole nice for what? Like, I got to be nice to these guys? Like, what am I doing with them? Like, I'm like...
Ben Barton, what song did the guys on the train play?
Oh, I don't know. It wasn't one of these. It wasn't one that I knew. But I recognized it immediately as Drake, and it made me super happy.
Yeah. And you're like, Okay, I know what I'm doing.
And as we said, like, I mean, I actually, I legit like him. Like, I liked his new record. There's 20 Drake songs that I like and that I listen to all the time. Like, I actually dig him.
How many albums?
This one was like a regular on the running mix. You can imagine like what a little toe tapper it is. And dude, it's also, he's got like this is a 2 minute, 58 second song that's just all.
Just goes, just goes, nothing. Goes. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I like appreciate that. Candy,
nothing but sugar the whole way through it. It's great.
How do you run at that speed? Step, 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 step. Yeah, it's a terrifying pace.
Ben, how many albums does Drake have at this point?
12 maybe? I don't know. Do you know the answer to this?
I don't know. I was wondering, like, you set me up with Kanye and that was the Education album. And so I went running with that like 7 or 8 times. And I really enjoyed it. What album should I go running with Drake?
This one's a good one. Scorpion's a good one.
Scorpion?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm looking right now to see how many albums he has.
All right, Jeff.
There's all these weird like EPs and everything.
Yeah,
else.
I know. And mix, like it's hard to really say.
Jeff Simons, this is our homework. All right. Between now and Wisconsin, we're going to listen to Scorpion 7 times.
That's absolutely out. There's no way I'm doing that. You have a good time.
That is not a growth mindset, Jeff Simons.
Right.
Very closed off mindset.
You're right. That's I have a fixed Drake mindset. I enjoyed that more than any minute of Drake I've ever heard.
If you count mixtapes and EPs, he's got 18. If you just count mixtapes, he's got 14. So 15 is a pretty good guess.
Yeah, right. Wow. All right. Well, we'll move it on to you, Jeff Simons.
I'm totally changing my pick.
Toronto, Canada. What?
Well, I don't know. What is your pick, Tim? What are you picking?
I'm going to pick an event that rolls.
Oh, well, then I'm switching it up entirely. I was going to do Ambulance Blues by Neil Young because Wikipedia tells me that song is about Toronto, although it's completely, you know, elliptical based on the lyrics. I'm going to pick Rush. I'm going to pick a Rush song because.
Now we're talking.
I mean, are we not going to talk about Canada? I mean, I asked.
Wow.
You'll hear in a moment that I ask our guest this question.
Toronto, or are they from Toronto?
Yeah, they grew up in.
You couldn't give us a Rush song? Like
they're on the they grew up on Queen Street playing covers.
They didn't mention Toronto in any of their songs. They mentioned
a song called YYZ.
They mentioned Wizards.
No, but see, so here's a song not about Toronto, but it might be about the surrounding sprawl around Toronto.
Come on, Jeff.
Yeah, baby. I have a really interesting relationship with this band because I don't really like them very much, but I like them more and more and more every year that I age. And I don't know if that says about me, but I just continue to keep coming back to Rush music in a way that I never thought I would. I thought they were really silly in high school. I thought it was all bloated, and I was I was almost entirely into punk rock, so Rush seemed like the antithesis of that. But you know, when you go back and listen to early Rush records, one of the things I really love about them, and this is not an example because I don't make any sense, but there's no overdubs on like the first 5 Rush records. It is just guitar, bass, drums. Like there's not even like, there's barely any reverb on anything. It's just those guys playing as hard and fast as they can as a trio. And then the song ends in like, okay, what's next? And it has aged incredibly well in comparison to a bunch of stuff from the 70s with like, lots of silly synthesizer sounds and over techno. But that being said, probably my favorite Rush song is this one, and it's guilty of all the worst 80s Rush moves. It's got a big drippy keyboard. It's got silly overdub sounds, but I just think it's great. This is It reminds me of kind of the worst kind of suburbia of my childhood, you know, the strip malls and housing developments where all the houses look the same. So if nobody else is going to pick Rush, I'm going to ride for a little bit for Subdivisions as my Toronto song.
Rolling up.
has happened to us. What?
So that song is great.
That song is great. My heart's beating like a rabbit.
Here's the thing that makes me really happy. It's Jeff, you're such a suburban kid that song really speaks to you. It just makes me really, really happy. The conformity cashed out. Like Jeff's like, oh
my goodness.
The keyboard sound at the beginning is so unbelievably awful.
That's unbelievable.
It's also, you know, it's 2 years before Jump by Van Halen.
I know.
There's no way that Halen didn't hear Subdivisions and be like, well, now that's got something going on.
I know, right?
The pre-chorus and the chorus, though, the guitar parts and the bass parts in there, that's much more Jeff Speed. But I mean, that's really tough. That keyboard.
Well, you remember that I broke into playing in bands playing 80s keyboards. So, like, Subdivisions was part of my, like, calling card, man. I could play all that stupid shit. I used to know that whole thing.
So we've discussed before, but I think, oh, I'm sorry, Adam. I don't think I told this exact story. So I was not a Rush guy in high school. Senior year, second semester of high school. And I won't say the guy's name, even though it doesn't matter. But we're out at this guy's house and he's having a party at his house. His parents are around. And he's like, you know, my mom works for the city and she's got a city car. Would you like to drive in it? And we're like, yeah, sure. So we go out into this like Ford that's got like government plates on it. And my friend's like, but it's a city car. We don't give a shit about it. And so he just takes off. Like we're going like 80 through these back roads of Brooklyn. And we're like literally, and he's like, oh, I got the street for us. We go up the street where there's a big hill. You go up and we get into the air and then come all the way down just smack with the sparks behind us. And I'm like, oh my God. Comes from skid back into his driveway. Guess what song we heard on loop?
What?
Tom Sawyer. That was it. The song for that drive. And dude, I got out of that car. I almost puked. And then I was like, I got to hear that song again. Like, I was crushed for life.
Amazing.
I was just wondering if it would surprise you guys that like that. I looked it up. That song's 1982. Like I was in high school in the 90s, and even through the 90s, like you would hear Rush on the radio all the time.
Right.
On the rock stations. Cause we had you had to play a certain number of Canadian.
Awesome.
Oh, so that means it's just Rush.
Yeah. A lot of Rush, a lot of Neil Young, a lot of Guess Who.
Guess Who I thought about. Yeah. I want to shout out a couple of the Torontonians.
He's Canadian, right? You must have got a lot of Rush fans.
Totally.
But the one person that I wanted to shout out a couple of people from Toronto that I've come across. So Bob Ezrin, the producer of The Wall and a bunch of other super important, he's from Toronto. And then Andy Stochansky, Andy DeFranco's drummer on all those great records, Ben, is a Toronto native. Okay. And then Sarah Harmer, who I opened for like 2 weeks in 2004 and who is like back at it, making great records again. Is also a Torontonian. And I believe, I don't know if Ron Sexsmith counts, but I love Ron Sexsmith. So
Sarah Harmer played Massey this year.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
I opened for her at the Iron Horse in Northampton for two nights and two, like when she was just breaking into the United States. So she was very kind.
All right,
I'm done. You're up.
Well, it's time to bring this rollicking train of a podcast to its station. Speaking of which, the Transcontinental Pop Festival was something that struck my fancy when I was researching Janis Joplin. The Festival Express train, a tour that went from Montreal to Toronto, I want to say, was it Winnipeg and then Calgary, that featured Janis Joplin, the Grateful Dead, The Band, Buddy Guy, The Flying Burrito Brothers, Mountain, and I'm not familiar with this band, Ian and Sylvia's Great Speckled Bird. Anyway,
Ian and Sylvia wrote a song called Four Strange Winds or Four Strange Winds or something like that. It's a very famous folk song.
Okay.
If you like.
So
Four Strong Winds.
That's it. Four Strong Winds.
An amazing concept by this promoter. He's just going to put these bands on a train and they're going to go from stop to stop to stop, and people are going to go hear their concerts. Montreal cancels. They got a little freaked out about the whole scene surrounding these bands. But don't worry, the Montreal tickets were going to be honored in Toronto. The problem was that in Toronto, a group of, what, 1,000 or so leftists objected to the price being demanded of them.
Yeah, then, this is when people were burning down their own rock festivals because they thought they should be free.
Yeah, they stormed the stadium. By the way, the tickets were $16 for two nights. Like, for both nights, $16. But no. It should be free. The man is hassling us. They go ahead and storm the gates. And the promoter says to Jerry Garcia, or actually the police went to the promoter and said, you got to lower the ticket prices. And the promoter's like, if I lower the ticket prices, I can't pay anyone. And so he goes to Jerry Garcia and says, these are your people. And Jerry Garcia says, okay. And he rents a flatbed truck and puts on a concert for free, which is in competition with his own concert. So they play from, I think, 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. in this park near the stadium, so that when the concert ends at the stadium, everyone from the stadium then goes to the park. Quite the scene. They get back on the train and go to Winnipeg. There's a famous story of them running out of booze and they just stop in a small town and buy.
That's best scene in the movie. Yeah. There's literally, okay, so they're on a train and they run out of booze and it's not in Toronto. It's like somewhere in the prairies, I think.
Right.
They literally stop the train and there's a liquor store like within walking distance of the train tracks. And they have footage of them like with dollies, like wheeling cases of booze onto the train. And then the party keeps rolling. It's an amazing scene.
Amazing.
When they interview the owner of that store, like, I want to hear his story.
Yeah. Like, the train stops.
These weird hippies show up and they're like, we have $10,000 and we need all of your alcohol. And the guy's like, fuck it, I'm closed. I'm moving to Florida.
Exactly.
Give me that money. Take it. Take it all.
He's telling that story in Sarasota. These Wookiees came in and they had all the money in the world.
He's like, you're not going to believe it. I had a liquor store. It was right next to the train tracks. You can imagine, real shitty, like terrible.
However, all right, well, let's go with Janis Joplin's Tell Mama from the Festival Express Tour.
Coming up, we have to endure an ad for the Jagged Little Pill musical. We haven't talked about that yet, but we...
Here get up, wait.
Changing the channel.
Here we go.
Do what you choose, I want to do. Well, tell mama all about it. Yeah, tell mama what do you need. Tell your mama, babe, what you want. Tell your mama, babe, what do you need. What do you want. What do you need. What do you want. Wow, I'm gonna get the thing all right. Could your head she didn't have no sense, dear. Was it worth all my time?
That was cooking. Damn, yes, I heard the live version. That was fantastic.
Isn't it great? Yeah, it's really a barn burner.
And that's not Big Brother, right? That's just her?
That's the Cosmic Blues Band who could actually play.
Yeah.
Wow. And also, dude, like where they stopped trying to feature themselves and feature Janet.
Yes, Thomas. Exactly.
That's a wise move on their part.
That's the big change in her catalog from like when Big Brother and Holy Company is like, I thought this band was about my terrible guitar solo, to the guys were like, maybe we should let her sing.
Oh, dude, you go back and listen to the Big Brother record. There's like five songs not sung by Janis Joplin.
I know. It's
like,
unforgivable.
I just want to go find all those people and put a hit on them. Like if I could travel back in time, I would kill them so that wouldn't happen.
You know, one of those guys lived like right around the corner from me for about 2 or 3 years when I lived in Mill Valley. Like, one, I can't remember which Big Brother it was, but
yeah.
He was living off that. He would just wander down to Mill Valley and wait for somebody to mention Janis Joplin. They're like, you know, like immediately, like launch into his Big Brother stories.
Well, gentlemen, that is all the time we have here in Toronto, Canada. It is a lovely city. Go ahead, look it around, soak it in. Adam.
Yeah, can I give you, I just, because we're at the end here, and I just did this right now. I have a very short list of things that I'm surprised we didn't mention. Can I run through them?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes! Let's go.
Okay, first one is the quintet. So it's supposed to be known as the greatest jazz concert of all time. Oh. I don't know if you guys are jazz fans, and it was at Massey Hall.
Okay.
I think 1953. So the lineup is Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Bud Powell, Max Roach, and Charles Mingus.
Wow.
And
that's it. Poorly attended,
but there's a recording of it, and it's dubbed the greatest jazz concert of all time.
Okay.
Second one is the Elma Combo.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a club that Rolling Stones played at. And I think one of Elvis Costello's first records was recorded live there.
Yes. I have both those shows.
Great. That's a famous Stone show.
Yep. Totally. And actually, Stevie Ray Vaughan's Elma Combo show is also officially released and also fantastic. Yeah.
And I think the Stones just like in the last year or two released that show.
They did.
So then the next one is the Keith Richards Rolling Stones incident at Toronto where he got busted for drugs. And then like he was taken to court and the punishment was he had to play a free concert.
Yep, I remember that.
And the next one is SARS stock. Have you guys ever heard of SARS
stock? Sure. Yeah, I remember that. Absolutely.
So, like, I think it was 100, 200,000 people. We had SARS came ripped through our city, and then to get past SARS, we threw a huge concert. Oh. And it was Rolling Stones, AC/DC, and then Justin Timberlake, Flaming Lips. And Justin Timberlake famously got booed relentlessly off the stage. He went out with the Rolling Stones and the crowd did not appreciate it.
I love that. But didn't the Stones agree to do SARS stock because they felt so bad about the drug bust and aren't they related that they had such lovely memories of the old Macombo and Toronto being cool to Keith?
I think the reason was that their manager was from Toronto.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But I could be wrong. The next one is we didn't talk about the band, and Dylan discovered the band when his secretary told him there's a great band in Toronto you got to check out, and he showed up in Toronto and checked out the band. And then the last one is Jackie Shane, who's an American, but she was a trans R&B singer that broke out in Toronto in the 60s. And it was a huge deal. And then the Numero group, which is a famous reissue label.
Oh, the Numero group were doing, I grew up with those guys in the Hated, and they're redoing the entire Hated catalog. And I'm loving it so much. And all the Husker Du stuff they do as well is the Numero group is just a fantastic label.
They did a major reissue of her stuff. And that's all I got.
That's pretty great.
You would have touched
on one of those.
Well, we have...
You know, we usually don't have a fact checker at the end of our episodes. This is good for the research department.
The actual thing is, we usually don't have someone who knows things. Have someone who knows things. That's a plus.
Those are a few. I just wrote that down right now. There's a list that I was surely we'll get to these.
Right. But Adam, this wasn't an interview for the podcast. This was a job interview. And son, you have passed. Thank you very much. We're hiring him. Awesome times. Jeff Simons, you know where we're going next?
No.
Anyone know any musicians from London?
We're going to London, England?
Nice. Yes, London, England. Adam, you said you know Keith and Mick. If you could get us some contact with them.
Will do.
I mean, we're doing 50 places and we're covering New York and London in the first five.
Yeah, you sure about that, man? You don't want to ease in to the two capitals. Where the hell do we go after London?
And also, it's been so hilariously all over the map. You're like, we start with Pittsburgh, and I don't budge on that at all. Pittsburgh, that's where we start. Everyone starts in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Then Australia.
Then we moved to an entire continent, which we just did 1 week. Yep, that continent was covered. Then we go to New York. Then we go to Toronto. And now we're going to London.
Yes.
Okay. I will trust in the wisdom of my leaders.
That's worked out well for you so far.
So far, so good.
Okay.
All right, see you in London. Adam, great meeting you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, man. Well done.
That was great.
Thank you. That was fun.
Jeff Simons, hang in there with your job and everything.
Going to see Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs tomorrow night at the Fillmore.
Very excited. Nice. All right. Wait, real quick. Taylor Swift, Ben Barton, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Listen to two full times through.
Yeah.
Mixed bag, but quite liking it. And also, let me start with this. I fucking love it. I love it. I love it that she went back to pop music. Like I heard the like the just the brazenness, the balls that she's showing just in her just hopping around all over the map.
Yeah.
To do two weird folk records and then follow it up with two covers of her original albums and then just break right back, picking up where she left off as if nothing had happened in the last 3 years is just off the hook.
So reviews from my students are very lukewarm. People are pissed. Like my Swifties came into class like, I'm done with Taylor. This record sucks.
What?
So I don't know what happened.
No, that's too far.
I was mad. I was mad on Taylor's behalf. And then we had this great conversation, Ben, with about how she's like, has never gotten any major trouble. And she's a spectacular example of a child star that held it together. And like, that's not true. She's under, like, she's made a lot of big mistakes. I'm like, name one. She's like, she flies around a lot in helicopters and leaves a big carbon footprint. I'm like, dude, she did not like abandon a monkey at an airport or have somebody killed. Like, you've got nothing. You've got nothing.
Yeah.
It was really, really funny.
Also, she knew. I mean, she was bound to face backlash because she did this whole folk thing and everyone had to get their sweaters and their tea out. And then she's going to do a hit record. Believe me, there are people who hated the last two records who were super amped to have her back. I mean,
I'm sure that's true.
She's also, it's the most streamed record ever in the first week. Like, she just can't win for losing. You know what I mean? No matter what, there was going to be a lot of pushback.
That's true.
I wonder if there are people like who felt that way about the Beatles. Like when the Beatles put out Abbey Road, we're like, it was half the planet like, ugh, these guys again with their songs and walking across the street.
Oh, dude,
put some shoes on.
That was one of the funnest things about the Let It Be documentary. Like the people are like, yo, the Beatles are recording.
Yeah, right.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's true.
Those clowns are still at it. Move on.
Yeah. All right, you guys. We'll talk later.
Sounds great. Thanks, friends.
See you guys. Hey, usually you'd get the artist in residence portion of the podcast, but we're trying something new with Toronto. We're going to split it up and see if that works a little bit better. So rather than having an hour and a half podcast you have to plow through, we're going to do our city or state or nation podcast on Wednesday, and then we'll follow it up with the artist in residence conversation on Friday. So look forward to Toronto, artists in residence, this coming Friday.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interviews.
Electricast. Electricast.